Galatians 4 is our text today. If you want to get there, you can turn. There's a pew Bible underneath. You can grit your own Bible. You can look it up on your phone. It'll be on the screen. No excuse not to read it this morning. It says this. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father has set. And that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we were His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. You know, timing is everything. It really is. So Elon Musk, you guys know who he is. He's been in the news a lot lately. Not because Tesla. I guess Tesla's not doing that great right now. But he's got a little side project called SpaceX. Have you guys heard of SpaceX? It's a rocket. And he has sent it up several times into space now, right? The first time was what else were we going to do? It was lockdown, right? Everybody was watching, right? Elon Musk sent SpaceX up, and they docked with the International Space Station, right? Now, this is a private company, private rocket that he has developed and made, and he, along with the help of NASA, they sent this thing to the International Space Station. They sent two. I mean, it's just amazing, right? It's this amazing thing. And his plan is by 2024. It was by 2026, but he thinks he can do it by 2024. Is to send people in that rocket to Mars. That's his goal. I mean, that's in like 5 years. He thinks that he can do this, right? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not going to be the first one to sign up for that, right? But he thinks he can get it done. But I want you to understand this. Timing is everything. And here, let me tell you why. Space travel is so tough. Why more people don't do it? Why don't people make rockets in their backyards? It's because of this fact. Listen to this. Getting a rocket into space is not as hard, like getting it from Cape Canaveral, Florida, or whatever, up into space is not as hard as getting it back down, right? Because what happens is those two rocket boosters, they eject or whatever, the rocket gets sent up, and it's like a missile, basically. It gets fired into space, the gravity becomes zero, and then they have these little jet propulsion things, and that does its work. But what happens is when they come back down out of space and they start approaching our atmosphere, bad things can happen. To skim the Earth's atmosphere in orbit, your spacecraft has to travel at least as fast as 7.8 kilometers a second, which is 17,500 miles an hour. That's fast. The Earth, with its atmosphere, is spinning eastward below you at around 1,000 miles per hour. Okay? So there's math going on here. Not our strongest suit, right? 1,000 miles per hour, 17,500. So you can reduce your re-entry speed by orbiting in the same direction that the Earth spins if you go east. However, that only helps a bit. your spacecraft still has to travel at 16,500 miles an hour to stay in orbit. Now, if you slow down by a tiny bit below that speed, even just by a couple hundred miles an hour, as you skim the atmosphere, you will fall far too far towards Earth before you complete your orbit, and you will hit the atmosphere at thousands of miles per hour, and you will explode. If you go too fast, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to explode. There's lots of exploding that happens, right? You have to be at the right speed, at the right time, with the right, at the exact right time, in order for you to get back down to Earth. It's crazy, right? But many of us have looked up, like Jody said, we've been looking up at the sky, and we saw this meteor or whatever that has traveled for however long, millions of years or whatever you want to say it. He's traveled all this time, come all this way, just to blow up over Syracuse, New York. Terrible idea. I live there, right? Over the Rockies would be much better, right? Or something like that, right? But no, it explodes over. But when we look skyward, you have to understand that is, I mean, when you see a rocket go up and come back down, there is so much math and science going on there, it's unbelievable. I can't even do it in my head, right? And it's crazy. Timing is everything. It's all about timing. The speed of the Earth, the speed of your craft, all of it makes the exact right time to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. So you don't want to miss your moment and die a fiery death. So this morning, I want you to understand this. I want you to look at one central truth. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Look at Hebrews 4:16. It says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, this is proven over and over and over throughout the pages of Scripture, this idea that God's timing is perfect. But can I just point out one of my absolute favorites? The book of Esther is famous for several things, but for one reason thing is that it never mentions the name God, right? Never. But yet God is throughout the entire book. You can see His hand at work. You can see His perfect timing at work throughout the book of Esther. There is not a more God-filled book than the book of Esther. However, it never mentions His name once. Esther 4:14 says, "If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just a time as this." Now, you guys know that story, right? Mordecai has discovered that the plan is to kill all the Jews, which Esther was one, Esther the queen. And Esther's like, "I'm not going to intercede. The king can have me killed." And he comes and he says, "Listen, for such a time as this, God has made you the queen. For you to intercede for His people, for your relatives, for me, for our ancestors, God, and our future. God has made you the queen for such a time as this." And so you know what happens. She goes into the throne room waiting to see if the king is going to extend the scepter to her or not. And if not, right? But he extends the scepter. All is well. And Esther saves God's people. But God's timing was so perfect in all of that. But my most favorite My most favorite is this one in verse 4 that we just read. But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Did you hear it? Understand this. 2,020 some years ago was the perfect time for God to send Jesus. It was the absolute perfect time. It was the perfect moment. It was the only moment that God would send His miracle, His Son, Jesus. It could be that moment only. Indeed, His coming was a miracle, born of a virgin, a teenage mom, born not to royalty but instead to a carpenter, born during a census. Now listen, a census so that He might be born in the city of David, just like the prophecies had said. All of it was a miracle. All of it happened at just the right time. God's Word says, when the right time came. When the right time came, God sent His Son. So this series, this miracle of the moment, right, this miracles of Christmas, this series, we're going to look at some miracles, four miracles that happened around Christmas, around the coming. The first one we're going to look at this morning is the miracle of the moment. The miracle of the right time, you could say. And so the first principle that at just the right moment, there was a miracle in heaven. Now some of you may know my favorite book in the Bible is the book of John. I talk about it a lot. First series I ever preached while I was here, when I came here, was through the book of John. So many stories, so many interactions with Jesus and other people, heartstring-pulling stories, such as the woman at the well. One of my ultimate favorite stories in the Bible. I love the imagery in the book of John, and I love especially the imagery of the book of John in John 1:1, which says this: in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. How cool would it have been to have been there in the beginning? To watch God speak the world into existence. Genesis says that the earth was formless, empty, and dark until when? Until God, what? Spoke. And when God spoke, He said, let there be light. And there was light. So there is God. And there is Jesus. Because you read John 1, it says Jesus was there with them. There's God and Jesus, and they are creating. They speak, and things appear. I just see, like, when God says, let there be light, and as He says, let there be light, light just floods out of His mouth and invades the universe, right? So cool. Jesus might have said, let there be the earth. And the earth just comes out of His mouth, the words of His mouth. Like, it's just so, it's such a really cool image. I imagine God saying Jupiter and Jesus saying the sun, and then they finished and they assume their spots in heaven, and then at just the right time, Jesus comes to earth to be born. And at the moment that Jesus came to earth, there was a miracle happening in heaven. The Son of God was leaving His rightful place, becoming not just God, but also man, And hear this. The fact that Jesus left the right hand of God, that was a miracle. To live with us, among us, that is a miracle. To live among His creation, that's a miracle. To be put to death by His creation, that's a miracle. And that shows the love that God has for us and what love that Jesus has for us. That He was willing to leave His rightful place in heaven and to come here among people that rejected Him. That's a miracle. Second thing is, at just the right moment, there was a miracle on earth. And the reality is, most people missed the miracle of the moment. They did. Most people did not recognize the significance of Christ's birth at that time. People were much too busy to pay any attention to the young girl giving birth to her first child in a manger in Bethlehem. But at just the right time in the history of the world, Jesus was born. The coming of Christ into the world was not a matter of chance or coincidence. His coming was part of God's divine plan established before the foundation of the world. One theologian says, historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation, waiting for a deliverer at the time Jesus was born. The old religions were dying, the old philosophies were empty and powerless to change men's lives. Strange new mystery religions were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of His Son. Ephesians 1:4 says this. It says, "Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes." The time of the miracle was perfect. The place of the miracle was perfect. And the miracle was perfect, as miracles often are. Yet most missed it. And today, most have still missed it. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us. He calls us His children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him." Can I be blunt? I know. I always am, right? The majority of the world out there, they don't have a saving relationship with Jesus. Most people don't know the Father. Listen now, I'm not talking about some person overseas somewhere. I'm talking about right here. Maybe in this building. For sure in this community. Maybe it's someone in your family. I said it recently, but let me say it again. The word gospel, it doesn't refer to some type of music. The word gospel, which is the Greek word euangelion, literally means good news. The euangelion, the good news that we have is the good news of God's kingdom. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to earth to live among us. To live with us. And He was proclaiming that God was restoring His reign on earth and that this was going to be done through Jesus, through His birth, His ministry, His death, and resurrection. That's the good news. And those during that time, they missed it. They listened to His message and they tried to silence Him by putting Him up on a cross. But don't miss this. We miss it too. Don't miss the miracle. Don't miss the miracle of the moment. Jesus, who is God, would allow Himself to be put to death is a miracle. To be put in a tomb, that's a miracle. And Jesus was in charge that day, giving His life for the sins of others. We know that death could not hold Him. A few days later, everything changed. He rose from the dead as a true king whose love is stronger than death. May we never miss the miracle of this life that is Jesus. Lastly, the third thing is at just the right moment, there can be a miracle in you. Verse 5, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Do you know the right moment, the perfect time for a miracle to happen in your life? Do you know when that is? It's right now. It's today. There's something amazing that happens when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Surrendering your life to Him is indeed a miracle. John 20:29 says, "Then Jesus told him, 'You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me.'" In our world today, almost everyone is a doubting Thomas. Show me evidence. Prove it. Fact checked it. Right? Prove it. And then if you are given proof, it's like, well, that's fake. It's not true anyway. Right? Honestly, when it comes down to it, I can't prove that the resurrection happened. There's no recording, no pictures. But even if there were, people wouldn't believe it anyway. Would that make anyone more likely to believe? I don't think so. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." He knew. He knew how the future would unfold. He knew that he would die. He knew that he would ascend. And he knew that a couple thousand years later, that in a small church in Bowen, Illinois, that there would be people gathered in his name, having never seen him physically or physically touched him. He knew that. He saw us. Along with millions, even billions of people that would gather on Sundays, on like days like today. And he called us blessed. He also knew that the world would get worse and worse and worse. He knew that. And he knew that things would get more evil and more caustic. And he knew that he would come to earth with a mission to be rejected and die. And the miracle is he came anyway. For you and for me. Because of his love for his creation. His love for us. Today, we lit the candle that represents love. We did hope, well, last week was the first Sunday of Advent, and it was in November, right? That's a crazy day, so we missed last week's. But it's still here burning, the hope candle. And we have hope because of Jesus. But today's candle is the love candle. Candle that represents the love that Jesus has for us. God's extreme love for us that would cause God, the creator of the universe, remember, the one that spoke Jupiter and the sun and the earth into existence, that God, his extreme love for us, he sent his son. He loved us that much. Folks, church, today is your chance to love him back. It really is. To receive his gift. To receive life, eternal life, everlasting life that he offers. And not only does he offer eternal life, he offers a life that is full and with purpose and with meaning. Your job is to receive the gift, is to accept Jesus, to give your life to Him. You want to see a miracle happen? Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.